This is another edition of the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. As your host for the More Abundant Life, it's my privilege to welcome you to our program today, and I urge you to stay tuned because the message is going to be a very special one indeed. The More Abundant Life radio broadcast features inspiring messages and presentations by Pastor Wintley Phipps of the Seabrook Church. Today, the title of Pastor Phipps' presentation is Kindness. Why should we be kind? Why is it important to teach kindness? Well, we're going to hear Pastor Phipps get into this topic very, very shortly. Just before he does, however, there is going to be some music. A song entitled Blessed Are You, a song sung by Pastor Wintley Phipps. Please stay tuned and enjoy our program today.
When the world turns its back on you, when they just can't stand the truth, blessed are you when they laugh, because you do what's right, cause they just can't stand the light. He said, blessed are you. Blessed are you who love the name, standing for Jesus unashamed. Blessed are you whose trust is in the Lord. Blessed are you when you choose to finally count the cost. When you take up Jesus' cross, he said, blessed are you. Blessed are you who love the name, standing for Jesus unashamed. Blessed are you whose trust is in the Lord.
Come with me to a day when the patriarch Abraham was nearing the end of a prosperous and remarkable spiritual career. His life had been a journey filled with triumphs, a few defeats, and with his footsteps beginning to falter and his eyesight beginning to fail. Abraham prepared his heart to face his own mortality. The time had come for him to sleep the sleep of the righteous. But like many parents today, Abraham was troubled. You see, his 40-year-old son Isaac had not yet gotten himself a bride. Abraham knew from experience that the taking of a bride was a matter of considerable consequence. It has been said that often people can trace the beginning of their success or failure in life from the moment they say, "I do." Isaac was Abraham's aging bachelor son, the pride of his life, heir to a divine promise. And so for Abraham, facing his life's end, this matter of a bride for his son became an urgent one. All right. You know, ladies, you know how it is, how mothers get when their daughters are not yet married at 30. All right. They're anxious, they're troubled, oftentimes they worry you to death. Somebody say amen. You know I'm telling the truth. You know, Ma, I don't know how much longer before these young men come to their senses and see what a wonderful wife I would make. Some of you even have had mothers who have taken things into their own hands. Well, here Abraham, as was expected in those days, took matters into his own hands. In the heathen land around him, he couldn't find one young woman he thought was suitable for Isaac because most of the young ladies were unbelievers and God had strictly forbidden intermarriage with unbelievers. You see, one of the pillars of a successful marriage is a pillar called compromise. A good marriage is a delicate dance to the symphony of compromise. To keep from stepping on each other's toes and getting on each other's nerves, you have to learn the subtle movements of accommodation and concession.
All right.
Yes, dear.
Yes.
Of course, dear. Right, dear. Compromise is essential to a happy marriage, and the first thing you want to do is recognize that, because the last thing you want to compromise on is your faith.
Amen.
And your walk with God. Abraham wanted to see Isaac married to someone whose influence would lead him closer to God. And as he prayed, Abraham remembered that back in the land of his childhood, there lived a people who kept the commandments of God. And Abraham believed that somewhere in that land, hallelujah, there lived a young lady who was willing to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And because of his age and the rigors of such a journey, Abraham delegated the responsibility of choosing the young lady to his eldest servant, Eliezer. And what a responsibility that is, to go choose a bride for your boss. Before Eliezer left to carry out perhaps the most important mission of his life, Abraham said to his servant, "The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, this same God shall send his angel before thee. He shall guide thee in all thy ways." And so Abraham's servant made the long journey beyond Damascus, across the river to the city of Nahor. He went straightway to the well and sat there patiently as the woman came to draw water for the evening. And as he sat there at the well, Eliezer prayed earnestly for guidance from the Lord. He bowed his head and prayed, "Lord, let it be that whoever I ask for a drink, and she says, 'Let me bring water for your camels too,' let her be the one you have chosen for Isaac." Brothers and sisters, first of all, that was some prayer faith, because anybody could have come to that well. It could have been the town drunk. It could have been a lady without morals. But the prayers of the righteous availeth much. Thank you, Jesus. Notice Eliezer did not pray that she be a gorgeous creature. He didn't pray for a pinup model. He didn't ask the Lord that she be the finest woman in the land, because God's definitions of beauty are so profoundly different than our own. Eliezer desired that Isaac's bride be a woman of godly character. And Eliezer knew that one of the most reliable tests of a godly character is a virtue that we have almost abandoned in our modern day society. It is a virtue called kindness. Kindness. This wise man, Lizzie, asked God to make an act of kindness the sign that was the bride. He had hardly finished praying when among the women who were gathered at the well, the courtesy and manners of one of those women attracted his attention. As she came from the well, Eliezer went to meet her and asked for some water from the pitcher upon her shoulder. Now, she's carrying a heavy load of water, and he's asking, are you with me? Can I have some of that from that heavy pitcher on your shoulder? Oh, I would be happy to give you some water, she said. You've come a long way. Oh, and look, she says, your camels, they look thirsty too. Allow me to draw some water for them as well. Now, brothers, that's like, are you still with me this morning? That's like going to somebody's house with your dog. And they say, you want a glass of water? How about your dog too? The Bible tells us, praise the Lord for Isaac, and I'm glad for Isaac, that the Bible says that the maiden that gave the water was fair to look upon. Amen. Her kind heart that showed the stamp and seal of heaven's favor. Church, you know, man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh where? On the heart. And I've come today to speak to you of a forgotten virtue called kindness. Someone once said that men are born and honored for their wisdom, but they are loved for their kindness. You are rich, though you do not know it, when you have wells of kindness springing forth from within your heart. Can you think today of the greatest act of kindness that you've ever received from another person? I think the greatest act of kindness I have ever received was when my Linda said, yes, I will marry you. Praise the Lord. And perhaps you have your own story. Some act of kindness that you will never forget. I'll never forget when I graduated from Oakwood College in 1976. I went on to Andrews University and I was attending the seminary. And a lady called me one day. And this lady, actually 4 years ago, when I was getting ready to go to Oakwood, she heard I was going down there and I had $300 in my pocket. It cost $500 and something to get in school. And she heard I was going and she sent $633 so I can get in school. I was there 4 years. She never sent me any more money. But every Mother's Day, she got a card from me. Every Christmas, she heard from me. And it's almost 30 years and she still hears from me. When I went up to Andrews University, she called me one day. She said, by the way, how's your album coming? I said, album? What album? She said, what's the holdup? I said, oh, it just costs so much. She said, what's it going to cost? And I didn't know at the time. I just said, the largest figure I ever said with my mouth. I said, at least $10,000. She said, oh, I'll give you $10,000. And that lady wrote out a check for $10,000. And that's how my music ministry began. With an act of kindness. You have your own story. You can remember some act of kindness that stays with you. While I was at Oakwood College, I was traveling on weekends doing concerts for offerings of $50. That's a long time ago. Trying to get money to stay in school. And one day I went down to a place somewhere down near Greenville, Mississippi. Did a little concert, but we were having a good time at church and stayed a little long, got to the airport, and my plane had taken off. I caught the next plane, but when I got to Atlanta, the lady was at the ticket counter looking at my ticket, and then she started looking at me, and she said, "You didn't catch the flight you were supposed to be on." I said, "No, I didn't." She said, "Well, you know, it's going to cost you more money to go back to Huntsville, Alabama." I said, "Well, what's it going to cost?" And she went, she tabulated, and she came back. She said, $55. I said, "Well, I got $50 from doing this concert." She said, "Is that all you have?" I said, "That's all I have." And she just was nervous. She's trying to figure out what to do. And then all of a sudden she said, "Well, listen, I can't give you any of the company's money, but I can give you some of my own money." And this Southern Airlines at the time, this ticket agent, went in her purse, took out $5, put it with my $50. So I could get home. When I got home, when I got to college, I sent her back her $5 and a book, Desire of Ages. And you know, that lady and I got to be the closest of friends. Because just about every week I was going through Atlanta and I would see her. So she watched me from behind a ticket counter go through college. She watched me get married. When I was on my way to the honeymoon, I took my bride and she met my bride. When we had our first baby, she took the baby in the back and held the baby. We got to be so close. When I recorded my first album, she shared it. She shared the next 15 years of my life from behind the ticket counter of an airport. And then one day I went by to see her and she pulled me to the side and she said, "I've got Hodgkin's disease." And then I watched her struggle. One day she was in the hospital and I went, couldn't go by to see her. I was changing planes, but I picked up the phone, found out the hospital, called her. She couldn't believe that I would care enough to call a lady who I had never seen outside of the Atlanta airport. And then one day I was going through and I asked for her and they said, "Oh, she passed away. Her name is emblazoned in my heart's memory. Her name is Pat Pullen. May God ever bless the memory of this woman and her kindness to me." Amen. You know, we need more kindness in our churches. I read this where the servant of God says that there would be today 100 conversions where now we have only one if only God's people were kind. Woo! More people would come to Jesus if we were only a kind people. Kindness done in Christ's name will be recognized and rewarded, because kindness reflects God's character. If someone mistreats you, don't mistreat them. Pray that God will bless them. When others are happy, be happy for them. You know, it's really hard for people to be happy for other people who are succeeding. We just sit around praying, "Oh Lord, help my neighbors to stop buying things I can't afford." It's hard for us to rejoice. And many of us specialize in pretending to be kind. But true kindness is love in action. It demands your time and money. Look for people who need your love. In Booker T. Washington's autobiography called Up From Slavery, Booker T. Washington recalled a beautiful incident of an older brother's love. He said that the shirts worn on the slave plantation were made of rough, bristly, inexpensive flax fiber. And as a young boy, the garment was so abrasive to his tender, sensitive skin that it caused him a great deal of pain and discomfort. He said his older brother moved by his suffering, would wear Booker T's new shirts until they were broken in and smoother to the touch. He said he'll never forget that act of kindness. Showing kindness is risky because it makes you vulnerable. People may take advantage of you.
That's right.
Showing kindness can get you hurt.
That's right.
Someone at work makes a snide remark about a co-worker, says something ignorant about their racial background.
Mercy.
Kindness demands action.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Kindness demands that you act, not confronting racism and bigotry is not kindness. It is meanness to stand by and have other people demeaned. Oh, are you listening to me today? Jesus says, if anyone gives you a cup of cold water, he is my disciple. Kindness is risky. Kindness can be misused. You help someone and then that very someone becomes dependent on you. Have you ever been there? You lend somebody some money thinking that that's the end of it.
Well.
But they just found out where their new bank lives. Have you been kind to someone if you let them become dependent on you?
Yeah.
No. Your act of kindness is no longer kind when you try to stop someone from achieving more than you have. Kindness is love in action. And there are times when kindness will say to a spoiled child, no, you cannot have that. Mothers, you know I'm telling the truth. Listen to what I read from the servant of the Lord. She says, mothers love their children with an idolatrous love sometimes and indulges their appetite when they know that it will injure their health. If your child asks you for junk, have the courage as a mother who cares to say no.
Yes. Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
The desires of children are gratified at the expense of their health and happiness. And you know what the servant of the Lord calls it? Cruel kindness. Yes, there is tough kindness and tender kindness. I don't know about you, but the reason that the Lord put this message on my heart today is I have been... You know, I read somewhere where a preacher said, when I turned 30, I wanted to build a big church. When I turned 40, I wanted to learn how to preach. He said, but now that I'm 50, all I want to do is know God. I've come to the point in my life, all I want to do is no God. I want to raise, maybe you feel like I feel. You just want to raise the level of your walk with God. You want to take the relationship you have with God to a higher level. And God answered me as I was praying that in my heart. Lord, how can I take my relationship with you to another level? And God answered me with Ephesians 4, verse 32. And be ye kind to another. Be tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. I want you to stay close with me today. The qualities that it is essential for all to possess in order to know God are those that mark the completeness of Christ's character. In other words, if you want to know God, you have to possess the character of God. And the character of God is captured in the life Christ lived.
Yes, yes.
And the life Christ lived is captured in his love, his patience, his unselfishness. And you become like Christ. Listen, those attributes are cultivated by doing kind actions with a kindly heart. If you want to raise your relationship with the Lord to another level, ask God to teach you how to be kind. How to be kind to those in church. How to be kind when someone grabs that seat that you were just about to take. How to be kind to your spouse. How to know what hurts and don't say those things. One lady in England had married a very ugly man. She was the one of the most beautiful women, and no one could understand it. And someone asked her one day, "How is that so that you married this man?" And she said, "He has never said an unkind word to me. I've come to the place in my Christian walk that I just want to know God better every day. And I want to ask God today to teach me how to be kind."
That brings us to the end of the message for today. I do hope that you understood that message. It certainly was a very special one, a message on kindness. If you would like to obtain a copy of today's message by cassette tape, please call the Seabrook Church office at 301-577-6342. The phone number again is 301-577-6342. Today you will want to ask for program number 207. That's program number 207, which will give you the title of the message today, which is kindness. Also, if you would like to visit the Seabrook Church, the address is 8900 Goodluck Road in Lanham, Maryland. Lanham, Maryland is in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. For directions to the church, please call 301-577-6342. Worship services are held each Saturday morning at 8:15 a.m. and again at 11 a.m. If you would like to write to us at The More Abundant Life, if you have any inquiries, if you want to find out about the music that we play, its availability, you may do so by directing your correspondence to P.O. Box 1078 in Columbia, Maryland. The zip is 21045. Until next time, this is Adrian Westney Jr. As always, I wish you God's richest blessings for the week. Join us again for another program, but until you can, remember the words of John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, "I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life."
Give what's in your